Next on Making Sense of the Madness, the globalists are trying to demoralize us, and our guest today will counter that doomsday narrative. Also, Chris Paul will be giving his insights on his visit to CPAC. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda right now. Well, Justin Barclay is a veteran broadcaster and frequent guest host for, of course, Glenn Beck. He is the author of the new book, Good News, Hope and Encouragement in Trying Times. Well, thank you for joining us, Justin. It certainly is trying times, to say the least. I feel like we've been reporting on fifth generation warfare here with all the different chemical spills and train derailments and different food processing plants that blow up. And all of these things can get pretty overwhelming, pretty negative, and people just tune out because they don't trust the media and all the fake news. So is that what you notice? Is that why you wrote the book? You know, it is very timely. So what motivated you to release this now?
It goes all the way back to 2020. My daughter, our oldest, was born. My wife and I had been married for 10 years. We decided the best time for us to have a kid is right in the middle of all the chaos of 2020. But she was born a little early at 27 weeks. And we felt in the midst of it all, the storm, the chaos, we felt a peace that I can't, I really can't explain other than to tell you that it was rooted in the foundation of my faith. We had seen all the things that were happening in the world. In fact, I report on that, talk about it daily, on my radio program. And I am forced to look at things just like you. You're forced to look at things on a daily basis, that, many would just rather not be confronted with. And as I struggled through just talking about those things, but also trying to give people the truth in just a local radio station basis, I reach a lot of folks in West Michigan with my video stream as well. I reach people throughout the state and the country, and we have people from all over the world like you guys do. But it's because people are hungry for the truth. They're looking for the facts with the reality, match up with the reality that they're experiencing, watching on a daily basis. And so in the middle of 2020, I found myself reporting things that a lot of mainstream media counterparts would not report. They would not share certain stories or certain bits and pieces of facts. And I found if they weren't lying in some ways, they were holding things back. And that's lying by omission in my book. And I thought, I couldn't do that. I wanted to make sure that the folks that were listening to me were going to be able to get the stories. They were going to be able to hear the truth about what was happening so they could make the best decisions for themselves and their families. And I believe that people are smart enough to do that. Call me crazy, call me nutty, but I believe people were smart enough to do that. And so that's what I set out to do in that year, to bring folks truth. And it goes all the way back to 2020. One thing that I noticed during that time was an overwhelming sense that folks would get doom. It started with everything that happened in during the COVID times. We're still starting to see the crumble of all that narrative, and things continue to progress and move in the right direction. But you know what? It eventually moved on to the election. The overwhelming sense of hopelessness and helplessness that I would hear from the people that were listening, and we developed these relationships, felt like family. I felt a call to share not just the news of what is happening in the world, not just of what the news that you see in the headlines, even the things you may or may not see. But I felt a call to share the good news too. And in essence, it is
the good news, not just the good. Are you talking about the gospel?
It is. You know, it's my faith as well. Look, here's the bottom line, and I know you deal with this on a daily basis. We got a lot. We're facing a lot, right? And part of that whole fight that we're in is, you just so eloquently mentioned at the top of this whole thing, part of that whole fight that you mentioned is that there is an effort to demoralize us. In other words, to make us feel like we're hopeless and helpless, and there's not a thing you can do. you know what? Continue down this road. Stick your head in the sand. You know, binge watch whatever latest thing comes out on Netflix. You know, take whatever poison of the day that is going to make you feel calm and just unplug. Just
plug into the screens. Yeah. Unplug from reality and plug into the metaverse or to the Xbox or Netflix or whatever it might be. And you're right. This is a demoralization campaign. I mean, I've seen the propaganda of the Ukraine conflict where from the beginning, all the mainstream media was saying, and this is a different topic, but it's war propaganda. You know, Russia's losing, Putin's making mistakes. And they say that all the way to the time when Putin gains all the territory he was looking for. So it's always going to be lies when it comes to propaganda. And now we find ourselves in a conflict where the war is against us, the American people. And so everything we look at is meant to teach that learned helplessness. And so tell me about some of the different things in your book that counteract that type of attitude.
Yeah, great question. One of the things that I mention, and this is my always come back to this, no matter how bad it looks in any situation, as you know, that constant war, that constant battlefield that we're on, in the effort to demoralize us, make us feel like there's nothing that we can do, that we just have to give in and lay down. I want folks to know that no matter what happens, the ultimate truth, God is still on the throne. You know, this country and everything that we've been through from the very beginning, the foundation, there are multiple times where miraculous events took place, or we wouldn't be here. Ever since you go back to the beginning, the founding, before they even got here, those folks who came over searching religious freedom, you know, wanting to make their own way, all through times when General George Washington was fighting the battle against the British, there are miraculous times and stories woven throughout the entire fabric of our nation that remind us that God is still on the throne, no matter how bad it looks. So a couple of the very simple things I do every day is I want to be intentional about how I start my day. Now, this is me, and I know you're in a similar vein, similar boat here, but you know, I got to look at this stuff. I got to look at these stories every day. So before I do any of that, before I look at the headlines, you know, I look at the good news. I spend some quiet time. And for me and my faith, hey, that's reading the Word. I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to spend some time focused on God, prayer, reflection. You know, one of the things I learned while we were in the hospital all that time, in fact, from the day my wife's water broke until the day we brought our baby girl home, we spent 77 days in the hospital. And if you've ever been in a NICU or a situation like that in your family, you face some tough times, you know that you're really on sort of a survival mode kind of gear. I had to make time to make sure that I was grounded. I had to stay grounded. And this is one of the things I've learned that I continue to do to this day. So I will stay grounded. I will make sure that I'm spending time with in my faith in the Word. I will also make sure that I'm spending time to think about the things that are going right. You know, we got the headlines every day flashing in front of us of what's going wrong in the world and what we need to be concerned about, but at the same time, are we spending enough time in our personal lives, but also in the media? They say if it bleeds, it leads, and I get that. I understand ratings inevitably at the end of the day. We are a for-profit organization, so we've got to make a living, but we also should be able to share some of the good things that are going on. So in my own life, I take inventory. In my case with our little girl, sure, we were in the NICU. We faced quite an uphill battle, but we knew we weren't alone. We knew God was on the throne, and we took inventory of the things that were going right. The fact that she was really born a little early. Essentially, she didn't have much of anything else going wrong with her. We were surrounded by people who were in the same boat, and many of them had bigger issues that they were facing than we were. So that gratitude piece is a big piece for me.
Right.
You know, the Bible says, enter his gates with
this praise. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you in the middle of the Bible verse. Please finish that one off.
No, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And so I'm going to give thanks I'm going to thank God. I mean, in America, folks, we live in the greatest nation in the history of this world. And we know this. It's easy to lose track of that at times, especially as we see things the way they are and the way they're going. But think of it. You wake up in the morning, Sean, we head to the bathroom, we flip that light on, we have electricity, you know, for now anyway. We go to the shower, you turn that thing on, you got water, clean, hot water. I mean, this is better than, you know, a large portion of the planet we live on. We enjoy.
You're right. Actually, as we're losing things, we actually can realize how precious the things that we've always taken for granted really are. You know, and I'm like you, you know, I really agree that diving into the word, I like to skip to the end of the Bible and realize that God wins, to just remind me of that. There's a plan, because we really are watching a type of destruction of all of the institutions everyone once trusted, realizing they can't anymore. And part of that crisis is that implosion process that is very, you know, shock and awe. And you can think the world is ending and the sky is falling, but it's actually a good thing for these institutions to be crumbling so that something bigger and better can be built with us having a say in fixing the problems of the past. So, you know, that's what we're all about. You and I telling the truth in our journalistic attempts here. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about what you really think is going on in Ohio, for example. You've been covering that, and on the ground in Michigan where you live, keeping your finger on the pulse there, as soon as we get back.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
RateLock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. Let a company you can trust help you select a RateLock annuity that's right for you. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
We are talking to Justin Barclay about the good news and the breaking news. And, you know, Justin, I saw in the breaking news here, there's another train derailment in Ohio, if you can believe it. And you've been covering this issue in Ohio and around the country here, but specifically in Ohio with the chemical disaster there in East Palestine. And, you know, we're not going to fill people with fear and helplessness here. We're going to try to give them the truth and the tools so that they can orient themselves and be empowered. So tell me what you've looked into so far.
Well, I had a couple of individuals who, funny enough, ended up meeting through me and through the year 2020, 2021. They were fighting at the time mask mandates in schools and throughout our state here in Michigan. These two happen to be industrial hygienists. Now, we were told we got to listen to the experts, right? Follow the science. Well, it turns out there is some science and there are some experts in that field, and they are industrial hygienists. These are people, believe it or not, that tell doctors even how they should prepare and what they should do, what steps they should take when they go into surgery or any number of things. In fact, these two had a very admirable record. One of them worked with the military, was trained by the United States government, et cetera. So they've got their boots on the ground. They've got their bona fides when it comes to all these things. And we had that relationship back in 2020, but this time around, they find themselves facing a different fight. They are working to expose what's happening in East Palestine. We continue to hear news about what's happening there. They made a trip themselves. In fact, there are a number of industrial hygienists, people in that field that are working to try to get accurate and actual testing done. They've made some really interesting claims. In fact, I just did a podcast with them over the weekend. We launched it. It's justinbarclay.com, but you can actually dig in and see what exactly they've said. It's to me fascinating because they claim, along with the lawsuits that have been filed for an organization called We the Patriots USA, that the EPA is not doing the proper testing. In fact, they found within minutes of arriving there in East Palestine that they were starting to have a sense of a taste of metal in their mouth, and they couldn't understand. They said, you know, it's been weeks since this accident, this incident, let's just call it, occurred. And they couldn't figure out exactly why. Well, they found out one of the things that EPA is doing. I don't know, Sean, if you've seen the video where Senator J.D. Vance goes and he puts that stick in the water and it starts to have this rainbow sheen on the very top of it. And he makes the point, these chemicals are still here. Well, what they had found is that originally they were just testing that surface of the water and they weren't getting the chemicals that eventually had fallen into the sediment and down into the dirt in those streams. So now what they are doing, according to what these two have reported, Kristen Megan Kelly and Tammy Clark, some very well-known industrial hygienists, the EPA and these folks are trying to now capture this toxic material, whatever it might be, and there's any number of guesses on the chemicals and the makeup on it. I've heard lots of different reports on this. We'll just say whatever it is. They're going through and they're aerating the water in order to cause that material to come up to the top so that they can capture it that way. But as they're doing it, these two claim that that then is the chemicals are being released now because of that process back into the air again. And on this day it was raining. So it was being released back into the air and then back into the atmosphere and the rain maybe causing that to come down. And they could taste this chemical sort of metallic taste in their mouth. And residents are talking about this as well. They make the claim that it is not safe for these people to be there at this time as they continue this cleanup process. One of the things that they call for folks to do, and in fact, the church to rise up, churches all throughout. Tammy says, you know, it's wild that we can accept all these people across our southern border. In fact, our federal government will go out and put them up in all kinds of great accommodations, hotels across the country. And yet they haven't done anything for these folks, our own people here, right inside East Palestine, Ohio. So she's asked for the churches to stand up. And the churches can come.
The people, you know, we the people need to get involved because we talked earlier about the institutions. We can't trust them, the media, the government, the corporations. And so, you know, sometimes we have to trust our own eyes and ears more than these people who are spouting statistics. And it's good that we've got kind of a decentralized group of patriots who are doing the investigation and finding out the truth. And you and I are part of that. Well, you know, just wanted to ask you before we wrap up about what's going on the ground in Michigan, because that's where you are and is an important state for election integrity for the upcoming elections as well. So any thoughts on newsworthy stuff to talk about in Michigan?
It on the surface is very dire. Democrats now control not only the executive, but they control both legislative, the House and the Senate here. We are looking at just passed a law, a bill for they call the Elliott-Larsen Act, which is all about civil rights. But in this particular vein, what it would do is threaten a lot of organizations, churches, et cetera. In other words, you know, if a baker doesn't want to bake a cake, they will be penalized because of that. If a church doesn't want to perform a certain marriage or who knows what it might be or hire people into certain situations, lawsuits will occur. I am convinced that in this particular situation, along with the Second Amendment issues that we're facing right now, they've had these bills ready to go in a very political way. They've rolled them out. And now, because of the tragedy that happened at Michigan State University, they've rolled them out. and they're ready to put these things into place. Now, let me tell you something about Michigan State University specifically. The attack that occurred there, as horrific as it was, and we pray for those folks, the families and the people that were lost there, it never should have happened. And it never should have happened because the man who perpetrated the attack, and I doubt you've seen this on mainstream media or mainstream news, the man who perpetrated the attack should have been in jail. In fact, back in 2019, he was arrested and pulled over with a concealed weapon without a permit. And this firearm, this offense would have been a felony offense. It would have put him in jail for a minimum 5 years, and then it would have also made him a felon, and he wouldn't be allowed to possess or own a firearm. So it never should have happened. But the prosecutor in the county where this took place, a Democrat, progressive, Soros-backed prosecutor, pled that thing down to a misdemeanor. He never served a day of jail and ended up a very disturbed individual who should have had. Now even folks on the left are starting to ask questions. What about this man? How come he was allowed to carry? How come he was allowed to, even at his home, shoot his firearm out through the back door of his home, as some reports are saying, and nothing ever happened? There were never any really any real police reports filed, anything that, at least that we know of. And this tragedy was allowed to take place. So their solution is more of what got us here in the first place, leaving folks defenseless here in Michigan. Law-abiding people, it's, again, letting the criminals off and letting law-abiding people become the next criminals, unfortunately, in this situation. But I do have faith. Hardworking people, good people are working behind the scenes to confront all of these things.
Right. It's amazing how Donald Trump chooses a phrase, and it just, as time goes by, becomes even more and more relevant. But he decided long ago to be the law and order president. And now here we are, 2024 campaign season, and it's all about law and order. It's all about crime becoming a major, major issue. And he's already won on that issue. He's already set himself up for success. So, you know, America First patriots like ourselves are having an issue that we can definitely win on if we can get a fair fight. So thanks for joining us today, Justin. Really appreciate your time. Congratulations on the book. And everyone, we'll put a link in the description below. You can check out the Good News book. So thanks for watching. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Paul about his recent trip to CPAC. He saw everything, including the things they didn't report on. He's going to be talking about that as soon as we get back. Well, Chris Paul is the host of the Be Reasonable podcast, joins us every week for his commentary and analysis. And now, Chris, you just got back from CPAC. I definitely want to ask you about that. But before we get into that, this narrative about COVID is certainly shifting fast here. Can you give me your thoughts on some of the latest breaking news that show how much that narrative is shifting?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the big pillars of that narrative have been completely knocked down in the last few weeks. You know, obviously the lab leak thing, and we'll see where that's going to go. You know, I'm talking on the podcast today about the pause that we have reached in this narrative, right? We are basically at a midpoint right now, and we're not all the way through the story. A lot of people have assumed that because the dichotomy is natural release versus lab leak, that now that we're getting a bigger portion of the public to understand at least the lab leak part, that this whole thing is over, but it's not over. There's more to be discovered about the origins of COVID. We're maybe halfway there. The mask narrative was taken down by the New York Times. We know that the school closures didn't work. The lockdowns didn't work. The vaccines don't work. The vaccines were never necessary. So the entire narrative is collapsing. And as you might suspect, the people who are still unwilling to wake up and face the reality as it exists are doubling down and holding on as hard as they've ever held on. They're going to see this thing through to the bitter end. And you can't have anything but pity for these people. It's not going to be pretty.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't feel a lot of sympathy for them, but I know what you mean. And it's interesting how these same people who are trying to deplatform people like us for talking about there even being a lab leak are now clinging to the lab leak narrative, because if they don't, then it's going to keep shifting to the next logical conclusion, which is that this was a bioweapon that was purposefully released. But how do you think the people in Britain feel knowing that their government operatives were actually purposefully pushing a fictional deadly variant deployment? So let's take a look at this video and I'll get your thoughts on how you think the Brits felt about that.
Who said recently that the virus was under control?
Yes.
Is it?
No, it's not. The new variant is out of control and we need to bring it under control. And this news about the new variant has been an incredibly difficult end to, frankly, an awful year. And it's important for everybody to act, essentially act like they might have the virus. And that's the way that we can control it together.
Just simple words there, reacting it. You're quite emotional by that.
Well, it's been such a tough year for so many people, and there's William Shakespeare putting it so simply for everybody that, you know, we can get on with our lives, and you know, there's still a few months to go. I've still got this worry that we can't blow it now, Piers. We've still got to get the vaccine to millions of people. And so we've got to keep sticking by the rules. But it's just, you know, there's so much work gone into this. And I'm really, really, it makes me proud to be British. You know, it's been such a tough year for so many people. And there's William Shakespeare putting it so simply for everybody that, you know, we can get on with our lives.
Just simple words there, reacting it. You're quite emotional by that.
Well, it's been such a tough year for so many people.
I've actually seen this phenomenon before with crisis actors and different people with the duper's delight, where they just start like getting the giggles when they're in the middle of these types of farces. So the leak of his text messages came out. He's purposefully trying to get the media to deploy a new variant scare story. What are your thoughts when you saw those text messages, and how do you think Brits feel when they learn about it?
I mean, I hope they feel swindled, you know, to the extent that they were actually buying into all of this the entire way. There's a big part of me that thinks that no one ever really believed this stuff. They were just responding to social incentives. The number of people who are actually living as though they were deathly afraid of a very deadly virus, It just doesn't add up or make sense to me. You know, I was in the middle of Hollywood amidst some of the people who are communicating the entirety of the COVID narrative as aggressively as anyone in our country. And yet their behavior didn't match. They would still have gatherings at their house. They would have their little COVID pod where they would only see certain people, which was really just them being even more exclusionary than they already are. You know, that was just a good excuse to make sure that only agreeable positions were ever in their presence. So I hope people do feel tricked. We've seen this already in America. We've read Fauci's emails. Some of the emails that are coming out now, some of the stories about Fauci's emails coming out now, those are on emails that have been released to the public a year and a half ago or longer, sometime in 2021. And we are forced into this position where we have to pretend all of this is new. And like everyone who's just realizing it for the first time is very, very smart and totally ahead of the game. They just uncovered some great truth about the world. But any of these people could have simply checked for themselves or listened to something other than the authoritative sources on the television and on social media and in the big news outlets or the experts as they were told to us. No one has right. to still be fooled by they this stuff. You should not be revelation.
They could have listened to the president of the United States, yeah. but the orange man was bad and stupid, and they wouldn't dare to consider his opinion or the minority opinions or what they perceived as the minority because they were under a massive media psyop. Well, Ben Carson, you shared a video of his on your info stream, and he's repeating things that we already knew, of course, but they're very worth knowing now as people are starting to sink in exactly what happened. The vax was pushed and people died because they didn't know about therapeutics. Let's take a look.
Well, it's kind of difficult to understand any rationale for why they're so resistant to allowing the truth to come out that the Chinese were responsible. Sometimes it makes you wonder if somebody owes something to the Chinese or if the Chinese have something on someone. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there's been so much subterfuge around the whole COVID issue. This is only just one small aspect of it. But there have been many of us who have been talking from the beginning about what this really is and how it should be managed. You know, you remember in the beginning, there was a great amount of emphasis on getting rid of anything else other than the vaccine. Mm. They were just villainized. The hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, ceradivir, all these things. It's just terrible stuff. You can't do it. And yet, we now know that those things could have saved many, many lives, people yeah. who died unnecessarily. And then the way that doctors and scientists were silenced who didn't agree, the ones who said that the theory of where it originated was anything other than what the government said were misinformation providers yeah. and should be shut down. And big media, the FBI, all these people colluded in doing this. Why were they doing that? That is a huge question, and I yeah. hope Congress will investigate it.
So, you know, that's nice to have some reinforcement there in the truth narrative that we've known about for a while. And another story just came out that Dr. Fauci pushed a fictional origin story paper to try to get people away from the idea that it could have been a lab leak. So that's another data point to consider. Any final thoughts as we wrap up this topic of COVID?
Yeah, man. You know, I wish these people would just relent. It's only hurting them. That's the thing. You know, I know they want us to stop. We're crazy or they're crazy. All right. Like, I'm totally fine with agreeing with that position. We're not the ones who wore masks in our car. We're not the ones who poisoned ourselves because the TV told us to. You know, it's really in stark contrast right now. All of the narratives that they pinned this whole thing to have fallen apart, and they're only hurting themselves. I know they don't want to admit they're wrong, but reality has already proven them wrong.
That's a really good point. So it is binary. Either they're crazy or we're crazy. And we've already come to the conclusion. So it's just a matter of time before everyone realizes it. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you all about CPAC as soon as we get back.
At Nature Reigns, we're dedicated to a holistic way of living that improves your quality of life from one day to the next. It all begins with a new technology called the Quantum Cellular Scan. We will remotely map the inside of your body from organs and vital signs, frequencies and tones, and find the results that will help identify what your body needs. We then tailor a health plan that fits you specifically. Welcome to a world of natural health. Welcome to Nature Reigns. Did you know that there is a community of human beings that live to be well over 100 years old? The Hunza people live to be anywhere between 120 to 140 years old. Their secret? Vitamin B17. At Richardson Nutrition Center, we have developed a product line to easily incorporate B17 back into your diet. Use your special American Media Periscope code AMP888 to receive 15% off your first order at rncstore.com.
We're a nation in decline. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. They know that this room, so important, the people in this room. They know that we can defeat them. They know that we will defeat them, but they're not coming after me. They're coming after you, and I'm just standing in their way. That's all I'm doing. I'm standing in their way. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm standing before you, because we are going to finish what we started. We started something that was a miracle. We're going to complete the mission. We're going to see this battle through to ultimate victory. We're going to make America great again.
I saw some Trump was right signs. I thought that was that's perfect timing to pull the Trump was right meme out. So, Chris, tell us about the whole experience, you know, from the very beginning, your impressions of the speakers, of the guests, and anything that you noted. I think you saw a fake Nikki Haley paparazzi. That was a funny comment that you made. Anything else you want to share?
Well, that moment was interesting. We were just kind of standing in this hallway outside of the entrance to the convention space. And all of a sudden, down this hallway comes Nikki Haley surrounded by 30 photographers just following her as if no one could get close enough to Nikki Haley. That's just not a real thing. You know, I spent 15 years running Hollywood nightclubs and doing celebrity events. I have seen countless gaggles of paparazzi who really, really want a picture or a comment of the person they're chasing, because they take that picture or comment and sell it because it becomes clickbait on the internet. There's actually a product that they're attempting to produce. Nikki Haley doesn't have that. You know, so these press figures, these cameramen, these photographers surrounding her and walking out with her, there weren't any just normal CPAC goers that couldn't wait to get near Nikki Haley. It was completely contrived and staged. It was truthfully embarrassing. I don't know if there's any audio of it, but I recall myself laughing out loud while it was happening because I couldn't even believe it. So that was really something. Vivek Ramaswamy had a little presence there. He is pretending to run for president as a Republican. One of his volunteers approached me at one point, giving out flyers to an event he was having later. And I said, I'm not really interested in Vivek Ramaswamy. And she said, well, why not? And I said, I don't really care so much about this constant focus on wokeness. There are much more important issues. And she asked me, she was like, well, don't you care about like what's being taught in schools? And don't you care about the gender thing? I was like, yeah, I absolutely care about that stuff. It's very important. These are symptoms of a very diseased ideology. But until Vivek Ramaswamy says that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president and our elections are stolen, I don't really care what else he has to say. And she didn't like that very much. So there was
you really nailed it. You nailed it there. I mean, we actually have one of his campaign ads, because I didn't want to play a 20-minute Vivek speech that basically is summarized in his campaign ads. So let's take a look at that.
We're in the middle of a national identity crisis. Faith, patriotism, and hard work have disappeared, only to be replaced by new secular religions like COVIDism, climatism, and gender ideology. We hunger to be part of something bigger than ourselves, yet we cannot even answer the question of what it means to be an American. Today, the woke left preys on that vacuum. They tell you that your race, your gender, and your sexual orientation govern who you are, what you can achieve, and what you're allowed to think. This is psychological slavery, and that has created a new culture of fear in our country that has completely replaced our culture of free speech in America. And that is why today I am announcing my run for President of the United States.
So I did catch part of his speech, and he spoke with passion, and he's right on these issues. We don't argue with any of this, right? But why should we throw away the biggest political movement of our times, the leader of our times, who's running for president again, and he has a platform to fix the elections that are being stolen from us? So we can never win a culture war if we can at least win elections. And I think you're right about that. Any other comment on the various competitors with Trump who were there?
Yeah, well, the Vivek thing is weird too, because all of those issues that he and others have sold as the most important issues in America for the last 2 years, those are all things that Trump attacks directly. The reason the country knows about those things is because Donald Trump exposed them with the media and with the Democrat Party and with some on the right. So Donald Trump is the solution to those problems as well. It's not Vivek Ramaswamy. He speaks about these problems in a way that is very palatable to normies who have been convinced that these are the biggest problems and that Donald Trump's impoliteness is the reason these problems can't get solved. That's not it. The problem is people like Vivek Ramaswamy who create these kind of cottage issues and then pretend that they're the biggest issues that could possibly ever affect the country. The solution to all these problems is Donald Trump. And then, of course,
do we really
about
need more charismatic, type of no. Barack Obama characters to just make the normies feel so comfortable in their shoes rather than someone who really disrupts everything like a Trump?
Mm, exactly. And, you know, even DeSantis is some branch of that phenomenon. You know, they want to have someone who communicates to elites and sounds like an elite. And if they can make that person appealing to elites, then that person has a chance. Donald Trump does not appeal to elites because he doesn't speak their language. He speaks the language of normal people. And elites believe that listening to people who sound like that is dumb and wrong. They want the college-educated sound, even though Donald Trump is more educated than these people at better schools and more successful. You know, Donald Trump is just still a big dummy, no matter how well he does. Donald Trump won an election against the biggest political machine our country may have ever seen, and he's taken out all of those massive political families, and people still think he's dumb. It's mind-boggling.
It's all marketing and PR. Well, yeah. We saw another interesting clip of CPAC of Carrie Lake and a bombshell announcement. Let's take a look at that.
And they may think that they won, but I know they're feeling the heat. They're actually, we've got them in the frying pan right now. This is true. And I know, I'm going to tell you why. Now, I can't believe this actually happened, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share it here at CPAC. I wonder if the fake news will even cover this. Something happened to me this week before I left for CPAC, and it shows how desperate these people are to stop me and to silence you. I decided to share this. It's a little bit controversial, but I'm going to put this out. Somebody showed up at my door this week. They called me before and said, I got to talk to you in person. This can't be done over the phone, which is always kind of like, uh-oh. What's that going to be about? They came to my door and they tried to bribe me out of getting out of politics. It's really happened. I'm telling you this because this is how disgusting politics is. A mom who runs for office and they're afraid of me, they tried to bribe me with a job title, with a huge salary, a position on a board. This is how they do it. And I said, are you kidding me? I walked away from a big job and a big salary. I'm not motivated by that stuff, guys.
So it was star-studded there. You know, who else did you see? Who else were you impressed with, whether that be people on the stage or maybe people you met in the audience?
Well, you know, I was definitely impressed with Donald Trump's speech. I thought that was fantastic. My main reaction from CPAC was this narrative that was being seeded by some of the DeSantis simps in attendance that everyone on the Trump side was really deflated because they feel like he hasn't gotten anything done in these 2 years, that the people have not been held accountable, and that Trump didn't drain the swamp, and that he left everyone to suffer and didn't fight hard enough against the stolen election. I didn't get that impression at all. I feel like I do know where that impression was coming from at the event. The interesting thing about CPAC, because it was subdued and it was relatively low in attendance until on Saturday when Trump got there and it was absolutely jam-packed. But you got to think, the conservative incorporated types, the GOP elite types, those people aren't coming to CPAC anymore because there's no space for them. There were a few speeches with some globalists here and there. They have to cater to that crowd a little bit and put up some of their candidates and their media people. But there's not much for them there. This is Donald Trump's Republican Party now. It's not theirs. They're part of the Republican Party, doesn't exist anymore. And the anti-Trump nature of what they're doing, they're going after Donald Trump. They're trying to demoralize MAGA. That's going to come around to bite these people. There's only so long you can do that. And people aren't going to forget when Donald Trump is the nominee that these people fought against Trump for months. So what are they going to do? Seems to me like they're going to be the next people into a brand new Lincoln project. And then we will really know who they are.
They'll probably end up being the next Democrat Party after that party implodes.
Exactly.
But, you know, who are these people? You're saying that a narrative, an anti-Trump narrative was mm-hmm. seeded. But are you saying speakers, guests, brochures? Did you see this?
Some of them were up on the stage. Also, I also heard it from other attendees that who have talked to particular people. But, you know, you can go through who the DeSantis PR people are on Twitter, the people pushing that narrative out. You know, you look at people like Kurt Schlichter and John Cardillo and Matthew Tiermond and Pedro Gonzalez. You know, these people are pushing a particular narrative, trying to target certain Donald Trump failures, so to speak, and then trying to make all their headway with that and pushing Ron DeSantis as the rational, logical, responsible alternative. And I think that that is an effort that is doomed to fail. And it really does shock me that they think DeSantis has the ability to attract MAGA without going after the most important MAGA issue, which is election fraud.
Yeah, and really, MAGA is Trump. It's equivalent. Yes. He created that phrase, "Make America Great Again." So you can't just steal his base and then discard him. That doesn't make much sense. But I guess they'll try, but it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of mudslinging, and it's already started. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about a lot of breaking news. Matt Gaetz trying to stop the war in Syria, the Antifa attack in Atlanta, and more train derailments as soon as we get back.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, Ph.D. at 720-605-3900. Here's what you missed at the last Ask the Expert.
Great question. But when I see the wickedness that is being imposed on these children, it is heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking.
You ask the questions. You participate. Next time, interact with Dr. Mark Sherwood. Ask the Expert, every Thursday night at 8:30, only on AMP Insider.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
We are talking to Chris Paul about the breaking news. Well, Matt Gaetz is putting forth an effort to stop the never-ending war in Syria, saying that the allegiances and alliances there shift like the desert sands. We don't even know why we're there, what the goal is, and yet never-ending blank checks and human lives are sent over there. So, you know, Chris, this is America First. Where's Matt Gaetz? He should have been at CPAC. I'm looking forward to him being VP.
He was there and spoke one of the days. I know a lot of people got a chance to meet him. I would have loved to have a chance to meet him. I would love to see Matt Gaetz be running for president in 2028. I think that his handling of the speaker election in the House was masterful. And he's someone whose priorities I trust. I like Matt Gaetz. I hope to see a lot more from him. In terms of the Syria thing, I think that what we are seeing is the scaling back of these globalists, of this globalist adventurism. And, you know, we know that these other world powers are asserting themselves. To the extent that Joe Biden has any control over our military at all, he should not be looking to engage in new conflicts with Russia and China. And it shouldn't be lost on anyone that the countries continually involved in these dramatic events in the news are ones who the central bank no longer has control over. These countries in the BRICS alliance, countries that are considering that, and then countries where there is a presence of those countries. The global regime is going after all of those places, and they don't seem to be finding much success, which I think is really wonderful.
Yes, it seems like Americans have once again realized that war is a scam, just like the Vietnam days. So that is something for, once again, Donald Trump to run on for his platform, because he has 4 years of peace to brag about, and no one else can say that they did that. Let's talk about Antifa torching a police station. They actually put out the command to go do this on Twitter. So still, Twitter is still a command structure for Antifa to put out these violent acts of arson and violence and so forth. Your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, it's funny to me that we are still seeing people on Twitter covering for Antifa and pretending that it doesn't exist. Those Democrat influencers, or whatever they call themselves, the Krasensteins, are out there arguing that Antifa is none of the things everyone knows Antifa to be. They want to continue their hold on this false reality for as long as they can. It doesn't seem like anything is going to deter them, including their own embarrassment. They have their audience. Their audience still believes them, and that is all they care about, apparently. But they're not convincing anyone. And, you know, when people feel like nothing is happening on our side and we're still seeing these same stories over and over again, I always encourage them to remember what things felt like 2 years ago in the aftermath of January 6th being called domestic terrorists. We were telling the big lie. You know, the censorship was out of control. We're getting chased after in every single way. That's not how things are right now. People are understanding that we were right and they're moving in our direction. They might not be our allies yet, but they're not fighting for the other team the way they were a couple of years ago. And that is big progress when you're talking about an informational war where it actually does matter. The messaging is the weapon and they're not fighting.
Right. We're gaining a lot of territory here. You don't see anyone even defending Black Lives Matters anymore. And it's the same thing with Antifa here pretty soon. You mentioned that people like Fauci and those types are clinging to a certain narrative. And you're saying, why don't you just relent? You've already lost. It's very similar with a lot of these other narratives that we're talking about now. Let's talk about the breaking news that there's another train derailment in Ohio. Just unbelievable. It seems like day after day, week after week, another chemical spill, another train derailment, another food processing facility blows up. We also had a tanker blow up in Maryland that set houses on fire, that caused a whole bunch of traffic in that region. So Americans are getting used to images on their TV screens of America on fire, like a war.
I wonder if it will click. We talked about this briefly last week. I wonder if it will begin clicking for people that this is kind of like a war zone. And these things are happening around the world as well. You know, there's a lot going on in India right now. And this is the global regime striking back. You know, John Patel Patriot put a little Twitter thread together yesterday talking about some of this. and remarking that, you know, we are, to the extent that we understand this situation, and I'm not sure that we have completely understood it, but whatever happened with the Nord Stream pipeline, that was a sabotage of what you might call critical energy infrastructure. And we're seeing some of the same things happen on our soil. Now, again, we don't know where to attribute all the responsibility of this stuff, but this is the sort of thing that you might expect to see in retaliation for that sort of thing. So it's something right. to keep our eyes open That's for and see what else leads to it. Yeah.
You know where I would look? I know a lot of people, when they're investigating these things, they say follow the money, and that's certainly a good mm-hmm. idea. Well, we know who did the Nord Stream pipeline, because Cy Hirsch put out an amazing mm-hmm. investigative journalism piece that explained, with all of his sources inside the Biden regime, exactly who did it. It was Biden and the CIA. Right. And the way, another way I would frame this is, who were the corporations and who were they allied with when they started a massive psyop for pro-Ukraine, anti-Russia, all at the same mm-hmm. time, all doing the mm-hmm. saying and parroting the exact same rhetoric. As soon as people had narrative fatigue from COVID, that whole wear a mask, blah, blah, blah thing just dropped in one day. And then they picked up the whole I stand with Ukraine meme. And whoever is directing these major global corporations to toe that line, like the World Economic Forum, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but the fact that it was all coordinated and all happened at the same time, just like they all did the same thing for BLM back when that was happening, I would say they are responsible. And it seems like they're trying to scapegoat Norfolk Southern for the chemical mm-hmm. disaster in East Palestine. But it's not just the company who did it. It's who made the CEO do this or that. Who's directing these CEOs at these, this is global corporate fascism. There is a power structure. We got to get to the bottom of it. Your thoughts on that? You've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the response from the illegitimate Biden administration should clue you into even more of it. You know, they will exploit any sort of story or disaster that pushes their agenda and their narrative forward. And by and large, they don't seem to want to touch this. Pete Buttigieg's visit was a joke, and Biden has been, you know, in his basement the whole time, I suppose.
Well, there you go. It's like, to get away with a crime, you got to have some kind of cover. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the Biden regime apparently did that with Nord Stream. They got their buddies in the European Union to look the other way. And it looks like Pete Buttigieg and their various governors in Pennsylvania and Ohio who signed off on that uncontrolled burn were the people who were looking the other way. So it is a government corporate partnership going on here. Thank mm-hmm. you, Chris, for your insight. Thank you for watching ampnews.us. We are America's Patriot-only network. You can go to ampnews.us and register for AMP Insider, where every Thursday evening you can connect with our show host live and get your questions answered. Get my breaking news updates at SheldonMorganReport.com. God bless all you patriots. Good night and good luck.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Hey guys, Justin here with the Satellite Phone Store, and today we're going to talk about EcoFlow's solar panel options.
Designed for portable power, these foldable solar panels come with a kickstand case for easy transportation, setup, and protection. Each panel uses an MC4 universal connector for wider compatibility and makes it super useful for charging a variety of devices.
And if you're interested in making a purchase or you'd like more information, please visit satellitephonestore.com or sat123.com.